like that will come to your mind when you get old. Have steady on my mind.
Althea, I wish you wouldn't talk like that.
Why?
You can remember twice as many things like that as anybody I know.
Oh, I don't know.
I never saw anybody. Does anybody remember names like that?
No, I sure did not. Well,
and then they complain.
A lot of times I can't remember them at first,
yeah,
but I can finally get them manufactured.
Well, this Mrs. Graves was a close neighbor there, and she died. She was a rich man. I was supposed to ride a horseback down the Laud, Indiana, and notify her people down there. So I got on to Big Mare and started for Laud.
How far was that?
That was about 6 miles. And when I got down there, along come, I hadn't seen an automobile before, nor neither had the old mare.
Oh.
It was up a bank about 20 feet high, and then a big gold rail fence. And she right, when Clyde Rich come along with Doc White's automobile, she right up over that bank and over that rail fence. And I had to go back then. I had to lay down a couple of rail fences to get back to the house. After I got back to the house and told them why I had to go back then, but I was kind of dubious about meeting old Clyde Rich again. That was the first time I'd seen an automobile or the old mare either, and it wasn't either one of us. Very good humor about it.
Well, kind of them automobiles to start with, they didn't go out much on the country roads.
they
stayed around town, didn't they?
That was right next to Laud, Indiana, just a little small town.
Yeah.
It was no big town.
You remember, we started the Laurel one time is when we had our first car, and that's where we had Harold yet. That's the Harold. 52 years old now. And you had to get out, or we did some of us in Fuji, we had to get up a hill.
You know, I never rode in one of them old cars.
Didn't you?
No, I used to see them pass. And we used to talk about them, but I never was in them.
Well,
they charge as much for an old one as they do.
This year I pay 23, but next year it's $50.
Oh, did you still have to pay $23 for your license?
$22.70.
Well, did they send them out to you?
Yeah, I asked them to.
Yeah,
old man Lawrence had that foundry in Cumber City, Indiana, and he had one of the first Jewish to come back when it came out.
They run with a chain,
and the differential was up behind the seat. And his wife was blind.
Oh.
His wife was blind, and she was riding on the left-hand side, of course. And I was over in the field farming, and I heard him screaming hard. And I went out there, and she's wearing one of these old fascinators, you know, like hung clear down here. Mm-hmm. And got in the gear there and had her choked down to that old fascinator.
Oh.
Well, I got over the fence and cut her loose. Fascinator, and then I got a fence rail and straightened up the shaft behind there, and they went on towards town.
What?
The differential was behind the seat. It's only one seat. Right?
What were we talking about while we go out there? When he was going to tell about it?
Oh, he was going to tell about that horse that he rode where them people were.
Not too low.
Richmond.
Yeah. We lived on the road. That's the same place where a man...
The old horse jumped the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drove. Shinmickle, yeah.
And when they had the flu so bad, why, they both died and one of the children one night.
They had three children. And the one was just a little tiny baby. He never knew anything about his parents. His uncle raised him, and I think just the granddad raised the older one.
1917.
Well, I expect that's about that winter the pool was so bad.
Yeah. Sharpening irons. See, you can't take an auger and drill in frozen dirt. Just can't do it. And I had to make pins and then harden them. I'd take common steel, sharpen it. Then I'd take a cast and put it in the forge and run this cast over till it melted into that, and that makes it hard and thickened. And then we'd dry that down and then can small charge the dynamite to bust the graves, bust the frozen ground.
Your mother died the same winter, too.
Yeah, mother died the same winter.
I think
so
she died
crawled.
On your birthday, 27th
of February. Well, by God, it took about every other person around there for a while.
I was in bed for 13 days. Everett had something, I guess it must have been a few the year before, and he didn't have it very hard. The doctor said right away he wouldn't have it. But Arthur had it, and he had it only some of the bowels.
No.
Well, it didn't affect them very long because they didn't last long.
It didn't last.
Some fellows, they just passed away almost walking around.
Yeah, it wasn't sick long.
Such big, healthy fellows, too. Look at that there.
Miller.
Merball boy, too.
Well, Tom Miller. Big health
boy.
And he got it from Dr.
Well,
Ben Lindell caught him out on.
Henry Schultz's wife, too.
Ben Lindell. Seen him out on the street, and Ben looked his hand and said, boy, he said, you get up to the hospital right away. Because he didn't have much of a hospital, and got him in the hospital, and you know, it wasn't very long until he was dead. Big, healthy fellow walking around.
They just went quick.
Ben told me to look at him and said his nails here turned red. Ben had learned enough to see that he knows where to look for it. He's a doctor, a good doctor. But his dad was a doctor and his brother was a doctor.
Everybody
had one brother that good for nothing, low down trash.
Yeah, the doctor's brother.
They had doctor's brother, yeah. I guess he's dead now too, so both of them Dr. Old Dave and Ben and Old Hayes. I don't know whether he's ever a doctor or not. He tried doctoring out west. They said he used little rubbers and told people they had to pay for them. He put them little rubbers in capsules and they had taken them there. And then they'd pass them pay for them.
Oh, he was dirty.
One time Ben and his wife went over across, over in France and around there. Took old Hayes along. He said, well, he could keep him cheaper taking him along and he could leave him at home.
He bought coal one time and I tell it on him, I don't know how so it is. And he wrote out a check for it. Of course, he didn't have no money in the bank. And I forget who the fellow was sold him the coal. I know who it was, but can't think of his name. Anyhow,
he took
the check back to him. He says, here, he says, you ain't got no money in the bank. That check ain't no good. So he says, you look at the date on that check and there'll be the money in there when that date's due. You're two ahead of time.
You know, Pappy, I've noticed about if you date a check ahead and tell them to hold it for a week, they won't do it. They'll send it right on you. I did that down at Wynn's one time. He wasn't pushing me or anything, but I don't know. know about what circumstances were.
Oh, I suppose they just put with the other checks. Did you have trouble about them?
No, his check went through, but another one bounced.
Oh. Well, that puppy means he takes a pretty good boy, maybe.
Well, they've got to do something with the postal business now. They got to straighten that out. When they get that straightened out, they got something else to straighten out.
I think they got enough there to get this war straightened out. They better let some of this other stuff go till they get that.
Pappy, I don't remember hearing you all talk about the dairy in a long time. Don't you care for the dairy business?
Oh, dairy business.
You was in it a good while.
Yeah,
now, these fellas, you know, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, they was trying to get the price of milk up.
Oh, we used to take cattle to the fair at Indianapolis and different fairs around over the country.
Yeah,
our youngest son usually stayed wherever the cattle stayed.
I certainly showed cattle down at the state fair, and we were down there one time, and on the way home was when some fellow ran into the back of our truck. It rained at midsummer, and I took off, put off on the berm. You see, he's the part of my lights.
Yeah.
And the lights turned on.
Yeah.
And I got put off on the berm and stopped because the rain was so hard, he couldn't see.
Yeah.
It was
at that time, you just had to use your windsweeper as your hand.
Yeah.
And I stopped.
And there was a lot of us in the back of the truck, and, don't you know, we put a lot of hay and straw and stuff in the back of the truck, and I said before he hit us a while, I said, well, that fellow's going to run into us.
Yeah.
And it just burst his old radiator on us.
Put the engine back up in the seat.
Then we hauled him to the next town, and then he was going to try to have us arrested.
I reported, I went to the police station, reported the wreck, and they just kind of laughed about it.
Ken never done nothing about it.
Never
what
was
not our fault? He
just
come up behind us and run into
us. Please, tell us to go on. Forget about it.
Don't you run into anybody from behind.
Huh?
Don't you run into anybody from behind. You've had it.
Now.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, now, wasn't it then?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have anything much then.
Well, you see, he run in behind me, and I just tore off the road on the berm.
Yeah.
He was hauling my lights is what he
done. It was pouring rain.
Like a pouring rain. Right.
What's the most cows you ever milk on?
He never milked many cows.
I expect 25.
Well, isn't that a pretty good number?
Oh, not according to what.
Not now.
Now.
But that bad.
At that time, I was about.
For a couple of years, I made that all into butter. One grocery there in Clumsy City, Yonson Grocery, they just went out of, the son just went out of business, just last summer. And I took as much as 200 pounds of butter a week, and I had it put in these pound packages like creamy butter.
Right.
We bought our cartons 10,000 at a time, don't you remember? We
yeah.
could get them cheaper
well,
that way.
Well, had a box to put the butter in, and pine of wires run across, you know, and then all you've done is pump it, mix them up, and when you take your other thing and slide it off, I've made a...
Made 6 pounds you cut off every time.
6 pounds of a slip. And then you already done the gun.
Wrap them in that parchment paper and stick them in the box. They had their names on and pictures of cows just like dairy.
Oh, had your name on the carton? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Yeah, you get 10,000 a time, you know. It costs very much. At that time.
And, then I had 48 butter customers part of the time.
Oh, man.
And each one of them, nearly all of them, finished a little jar. Some of them take 3 pounds, some 2, and a lot of them took 1. And these little jars were up on the bottom. They could write their name on the bottom of them and see how much butter they wanted the next time. They wasn't at home. I just left the butter and picked up their jar. I took as many as 17 gallons of buttermilk at one pool room in Clumsy City at one time.
That makes a noise.
What are you... Oh, he's just recording
that. That thing rattled.
I'm going to quit.
you didn't put anything in the butter to make it last the way they do now.
Well, I didn't put nothing in it, but
they,
salt.
They put that embalming fluid in it now, you know. It'll last forever.
Oh, I you know. I put salt and in the wintertime,
you never
always
had
put a little coloring in it, you know.
Yeah.
Make it sort of yellow. In the summertime, you didn't need it. It was kind of yellow when the color was on
the
ground.
They put the same thing in milk, butter, and bread. It's embalming fluid. And it just makes it last forever. You don't have.
I have eaten that stuff.
Well, you never have bread before.
No, it hardly ever molds.
No,
you can just keep it and do it.
I know.
You just leave it out, it won't spoil.
Oh, goodness. It's killing the people by eating, isn't it? Embalmed.
Well, that says you want it to be embalmed, don't you?
Right, we had a churn that we could churn.
I never thought I wanted to be, but I
85 or 90 pounds of butter at one batch. Well, then the butter worker was right in the churn, and I'd draw the buttermilk all out and draw it out in pails. I put it in jugs later then, and put a couple of three big buckets of cold water in there and run that a little while, rinse the milk all out of it, and I'd drain that all out. Then I'd put my salt in and start the butter worker. The butter worker's right inside of the churn. Then it was just all ready to put in them butter tubs when I took it out of there. Each tub held 30 pounds. Each butter tub, they was square, you know, so as you could, well, cut off 6 pounds each time. It was kind of an oblong shape.
Well, they embalm chickens, too. They put stuff on so they won't spoil.
Well, I expect they do.
The only trouble, I work on this area there for a lot of years, and the only trouble we have there, you had to be there.
Oh, yeah. I guess
you
did.
You had to be there twice a day for the cow.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
And every Friday I delivered butter. Well, a lot of times they'd people call in after I went to town and tell them they'd like to have me deliver chickens and stuff the next day, you know. And a lot of times our daughter was just about 9, 10 years old. But sometimes she'd have 2 or 3 chickens clean, but I'd get home in town. Then I'd deliver them the next day and whatever other stuff I had to deliver.
How long did you stay in the dairy business, Cousin?
Well, we didn't make butter that long.
No.
I'll tell you, one fall we went to California, and of course I had to quit making butter then, because Everett and his wife looked after things at our place.
I
they just moved
I
right over there. They had the 80-acre farm close to us, but then they moved right over to our place. I think he went back over to his place and did his chores, because that's the winter their second boy was born, DeWitt.
Well, now that way you can get away.
Yeah. And the next winter, you know, when we went, Edison and Grace stayed there, and Joy was in high school then, and she stayed there and went to school. Helped her some with the work, too.
Got a lot of mothers in there with those old timers. See him.
Been out there ever since before
war. He married a wolf. First wife. Wasn't
a Wright.
Wright. That's it. Married a Wright. And
her mother married a wolf, her second man.
Then they was off in California, stirred up moss somehow or other. Her brother was out there.
He was in the army.
They started home. And on the way home, they got in a wreck and killed her. Well, his boy.
He was hurt pretty bad.
He was hurt pretty bad, but he came home then and he went over and got killed over in Germany.
During
the war. He got killed in Germany.
I think he was an
officer. So Edison, this is his second wife. He worked for me for how many years?
Boy.
After that bull that gave you trouble that time, was that one of your dairy bulls where you had to fill in full of shot every night?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, the time I went back there, and bull had jumped, pushed the rail fence over and jumped over.
Oh,
and I
went
to get him back, and he made for me. Well, I just come to the house and got the shotgun. I wasn't going to fight no bulls. I wanted to be on even with him.
Is
but that time
the
he'd went.
One that
cleaned me up in that.
No, no, it was a different one altogether. This one was a Derby. And he'd went on up to Shopper's place.
By the time you got back with your gun, he'd gone on up to Shopper's.
Yeah. So I went up there, and he's in there with their cattle, and I got him. Well, when I got put in the tree, he seen Nina coming, and he began to start towards me, you know. I let him get about where I wouldn't kill him, and I give him a little shot right in his face. And he whirled, and then he began to dig towards home.
He went, ooh.
Then when it got back in the woods, well, he was going to stop under a shade tree, and I didn't leave him stand. I didn't aim to get up close enough, you know, so he had sprinkling pretty good.
But there was a lot of people around Columbia City that Neef was shot in a van. We heard about it. We knew where they come from. We told him
right away
after that.
And, but when I was bleeding pretty well, I think I shot him 7 times before I got him back. And when I...
And he went in the barn there. He stood looking out the door.
You remember now, Elsie?
Oh, yeah, I remember all about
that. He was standing looking out of the door. I was going to give him another shot.
I think the bull is the cutest one of them other animals. I think he just is
just
boy.
They just
can
be dog
bone
meaning who
would take it off. One of them made a stand on me one time. I was scared to plumb to death. I yelled bloody murder. And I knew that he was coming for me, and all the way you could do is just holler off of me. And so I did, and then he turned around the other way.
Oh, boy,
was
I scared.
You hollered at him. Oh, I hollered off of you. I don't even remember what to say.
Well, you know, I tell you the truth. I think the best way to control an animal is with your voice.
Yeah.
Just speak up to him.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. That's just all I done. I didn't get killed.
I never pictured after ever speaking to him. Now you didn't say a word to that bull, did you?
No.
Oh.
I expect you used some big dirty words.
No.
You didn't say a word to it.
No. But
you
didn't
raise your voice.
No.
Yeah,
well, I expect I did though. When he was trying to get me, when he made for me, I expect I got around some trees and I got over the fence and got away from him.
But you were moving. You weren't using your voice. You weren't talking to him.
I don't remember whether it's talking to him or not, but
I wouldn't
trust talking to him. I'd sooner use shotgun.
I would too,
coming
to me.
But I had seen the mules.
Yes, I remember now. I'd
take a shotgun to get them up.
Yeah,
tell that. I'd have to. Well, the way it happened, Thought lived right across from where the pastor was. He lived across the road. The pastor went back east along the road. The road gone east and west.
Holy, I don't know what I'd done.
Old Man Oliver, he
been gone a couple of months.
Said that he'd
have
a man western
with
his
body.
Shooting his stalk. Well, about the only way you get them mules up and people out. You didn't even shoot them. Just shoot something.
Well, there's one of your neighbors.
Yeah.
He didn't.
One of his boys was working for me. And he brought the mules in and sowed a couple ears of corn in the feed box. He
didn't shut the
put
door.
Put the harness on them. He didn't shut the door and nothing. And he got the harness on the last one. Well, the mule says that's wrong, I guess. Off they went out of the door back in the field.
They didn't have much harness on either when they got them.
And they had harness scattered all over the field, and he had his whole family out there, the girls and all, trying to get that mule. Well, that mule was just making foolish out of it. So I watched them. After a while, I took the shotgun. Went back, and when I got back there, they wasn't making much success of getting the mules. They couldn't get them to a lane or come up to the barn at all. So I went back there, and I think it tickled one of them a little bit. They were overshot. They turned right around, went up the lane, went in the barn. Well, and they had the whole family out there hunting harness, and it scattered all over the pasture.
What do you say then, Pappy? What do you say then about
it? He never said another word about it.
Guess he thought they needed
it. I think he is. But, that same field one time, I had it in hay when I was a mower. And I had to go to the shop. I made the third pitman shaft. When I got down to the fur corner to the south, and it turned that corner, they'd run them. Of course, it just had smooth bits on them. I couldn't hold them. Well, that drag was going too fast to mow, you know, and it'd drag up till they got a whole bunch of hay and then break the pitman shaft. I got up the other corner, I stopped. I didn't even own hitch them down. They just stayed there while I was big pitman shaft and come back to the end. And when I get it on there, down that one corner,
I'll bet one of them had got stung on that corner down there sometime.
I doubt it. It's just trippy.
So what'd you do?
Huh?
What'd you do there?
You went to town, man. You got a
skull
bit.
You got some different bits
you
put on them.
Yeah.
And all they done is grow on them.
Yeah.
Chewing bits. Forgot all about the running part.
Pappy, last.
I tore her off on a separator when we used to drive up the side of it, two or three horses' tails. One of them died. The other two got over by me. But the one for Kaiser died. Tore off too much tail, you see. The pulley, and there's no use in it getting close to it, driving up to the feeder on the separator. There was no use in getting up there, but Dr. Collins wasn't paying any attention. That's the way it was with when Wayne Schrader drove up that time at least. They were fine horses, too. But he had the doctor out right away, and they showed up some pieces back, I guess. Tail up in pretty good shape. Get them all right. That and Kaiser, it was much more.
You know.
You just want to come up here, all three of you, just stand here and visit a little bit. That's all you want to do, just talk. Yeah. And old Dinkle and little Miss Pussy. Missy. Yeah. Now that's all they do, Pappy, come up here to visit.
Mm-hmm.
At Dinkle. Dinkle. No. No, she don't care. He don't care. No, he not really.
What else do you say?
My dad had a horse. I think it was a Western. It was a real nice looking horse. But it would jump any kind of a fence. You couldn't hold him in with a fence. And sometimes my brother would have to go after him in the mornings, and he'd have to come across a couple of fences. He'd just stay right on his back and make him jump across.
Mm. Just a regular old wire fence, no?
Oh, they had mostly rail fences.
I see.
That's
as I did, you run into all kinds of horses.
Yeah.
And all kinds of people. I know a fellow named John Roach. He's got a big team in Apple Gray Edge. Make two of these.
Yeah.
And the one got so every time I'd go to put a shoe on, he'd just kind of want to pick her up. And I had to rasp leveling his foot up. I took him and licked him on the gut. Made old John mad. I didn't hurt the little simple no performance. I just rasped, you know, so he straightened up right away. John, he didn't like it. He let me know what he didn't. I let him know if he wanted to make sure that I had couple other teams there to shoot. Busy time, you know, and thrashing time.
Yeah.
And they had to get on the road. I really much. Shot out shooting, but because I hate it. Not nothing but holes, you know.
That's awful to be out of water. That's bad enough here without going west, out west, you know.
Well, when we was up in Nevada, up close to Reno, well, we came to a place where they had a filling station. We stopped to get gas. All of the, it had been burnt over. All the whole thing, as far as you can see, was burnt over. And then they had wolves, I suppose, that they'd shot and that burnt over and hanging on trees that they were nailing, hung, and putting all the trees had wolves hanging on them.
Mm.
And mother asked the fellow at the filling station, says, it ain't rained here lately. He says, we haven't had a drop of rain in 4 years. So you know it was dry. 4 years. All they had was just palm leaves laid over the shade.
I see.
Over there someplace in the shop.
Well, I brought you those cans. I thought you might need them. I'm going to use them.
I brought one along back.
It's nice to have some. I stopped down there and
and get hot, I'd go about 15 miles and she would get hot.
Killing me. That's one of them things that bite.
And,
they sure can bite.
By George, I've done everything. And, changed the oil. Hopefully they get a little some more oil. I drove me drive about 15 miles tomorrow.
It's just hot weather, then.
Oh, the wind come right to our
wind
back all the time.
Back, and the radiator didn't pick up wind enough to cool it. So I've had that to happen several times since.
Yeah.
But I know what it was then, you know. But we
tried. But we needed sails on us when we needed them over.
And after a while, I called in and I told them, what kind of film station. They said, you've got to take a wind. Well, I'm over 9 and 14, right close to where we live. In Indiana, I happened to be over there. I was going well from there. And I judge the wind is from the south, and every car comes through the boil. Well, maybe not everyone, but a good many of them would be a boil.
Well, now, Pappy,
wind.
I didn't realize that the wind in Kansas out in them states would be so steady, you know, like that. Like you said, you know, you're building a barn that holds the porch up, you know, on one side. No, I didn't realize that. It just keeps it going, just steady.
We was out there twice when we were building Boulder Dam out there. Really something.
Yeah. And I just out put them in dirt arts and went and got me some dirt. And it says there's sure cure for arthritis, so it's worth it.
Oh.
Make tea out of the leaves, he said.
Well, I know a lot of customers he'd have.
I'm going to try it, even if it kills me.
Dad and I worked on the nickel plate section. The road hadn't lasted too long before then. I drove a pile on the
path. He wasn't saying it.
Where my dad was. We lived on 12 miles of that track. And three of the keepers were bosses. On three different sections, 6 miles to a section. And his dad, Ed Harmon,
Bill Kiefer. They were Germans, and they pretty bullheaded and pretty smart. And
he's about this tall.
And his dad and I, we had to pump a speeder.
He's older yet than Arthur. He's dead now.
We lived
his father and mother both
east of Peabody, 4 miles. And we always had to help pump the car and hand car down there, and then we'd get on an old cedar and pump it clear back all that distance, which is all uncalled for.
Arthur, his mother must have been quite a little bit older than his dad. She was an old maid, that I'm anyway, she didn't want any children. And when this child comes, she wasn't backward about sin, because I'll tell you, I didn't want him. She didn't want any children at all. And that's the only one they ever had, this boy.
We worked on them sections and threw past where my dad's farm was, and Wolfongles was on the other side of the track. That had all been swampy in there. And they cut down ash poles, you know, and put them across this muck. And then they put cinders on them, a few, and go piling them. And finally they kept dumping stuff on them poles, you know, they got filled up. And then they had to keep raising a track through there. And much of time as we had, I know these keepers, they thought they was pretty good men. They was bigger than I was. This boy's dad used to lay a silver dollar on the rail and tell old Ed, when you take Kyler down, that's yours. He'd jump into it and I'd waller him every doggone time. Finally, Brother Bill went. Brother took him down. So we went down on the other section to do some work. We do have a whole gang, you know, together at times on different things. If the track was going down in the place or something like that, because it's done pretty regular then in the early days. First thing that commenced. If I had a father, his name was Bill Blackford. So then old Eddie at the box. So I just watched, you know, and reached in between the back of my hand like that and took his hat off. Box again, and I was, oh, it's my chest, and I'd be doing the right hand once and the left hand next, you didn't know which hand was going to take that off. And that made him kind of mad, and he began to come out in his fist, but I was taking pretty good care of myself, and old Bill Buckford took him to the car and said, here, says, you ain't going to beat on that kid like that.
Mm-hmm. Arthur, down at the boys' school, you went to school there before I did, there was a sign out there, like a cross, like this.
Mm-hmm.
What did it say on that? I don't even remember.
Oh, 15 miles to Huntington, and
four or five
to Columbia City. And
so many to Fort Wayne, I suppose, because that's
where I went. Fort Wayne was 12 miles.
Well, the reason I went to school there is because they rebuilt the Jefferson Center.
Well, so all their addresses when I went to school.
I know, but you went to school before I did.
Kilt.
He was just 5 years old when he went to school. Well, so was I. But then he was older than I was, so you didn't go to school there when I
was 5 years old when I started school.
I can tell you what I could remember about this kid's dad. He'd get out there to where that thing was. I think it might have been my first term of school. And he'd read like he's reading the epitaphs off the tombstone. They'd kind of tickle the other kids, you know.
Well,
now, I remember
dad
most,
was a comic.
I remember more about him that way than anything else.
Yeah, that he could think of something.
And this kid is just great, big, tall fella, too, and about that big around.
Really?
Like a rail.
Used to go coon hunting one night and caught a coon. I was 2/3 grown. And he had it by his back of his neck, and across the hips, you know. And, oh, I'm going to take it up and put it in a cage. Now, all all right, and we started off, and dog come around and jumped up at it. He went and jerked his feet up like that, and then he measured mostly out.
Did he use the cooling
man?
Golly. He's awful tall.
Kiefer.
He's awful tall.
I don't know anybody named Kiefer.
Kiefer.
I never saw that name down here, but there's so many names down here like there is up north.
Yeah.
There is some awful odd names to me. I think they're foreign names.
Ed, Bill, and Harmon are all dead. Ed killed and shot himself during the war. And the filling station on the south side of the Pennsylvania Railroad and on the west side of the road, and a big machine shop on the other side.
What did he kill himself for?
Huh?
What did he kill himself for? Was he afraid he's going to kill the army?
He drove up there. No. He drove up there and left his old car, set it up, put the brakes on or something, and it coasted down on the track. Well, when the train hit it, it was during the war. It was loaded with soldiers. And some fellow got off and he just cried, well, anybody can see that was sabotage. And then, and that scared old Ed down. He went home and shot himself a bit. He killed himself.
Why, that day?
Huh?
Good night.
Yeah.
Well, I expect he felt well, that bad.
That fellow was
the cause of the joke. That people are careless like that. I saw Harry get out of our car, and if you don't throw that latch over, what the brake is not off, and I could done the same thing the other day. Wasn't sitting on much of an incline, but the car moved a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw Harry do that several times. I was afraid he'd leave it and run down a hill and sometime or into a building of some kind. It's different than a lot of cars, and he just forget.
That's curious how a car, a wagon or something like that will sit there. And then somehow or other, you know, it'll just sort of move on.
Well, it probably moves a little before you know it's moving, and it has to really get started before you really know it's moving.
Don't worry, you bought. I got one right before this. The postmaster wanted
it. We was down to Lawson's about 4 noon, burning her old ladders and junk.
Well, Bobby's friends tripped. LBJ in 68, plan of the new left in the Democrat Party, a close look inside today's Congress, effects of the Paul Dodd case.
If it's dry,
if you get, I always fertilize mine. We had people of the name of Severs, they always wanted to get into politics, always running for office or something. He got in as Henry, and he come to me and wanted to make you insure. I said, all right. And it's you, I'll insure. I forget what it cost me. Not so very much. And I put my wheat out right, and I got 40 bushels an acre next year. Will Fisher married mother's sister. He's a well-known man there in town. Of course, he had a big farm out of town. He was out there, he walked down on it on Sunday, and she said, that's got the name of my wheat beet. And it was, it is dandy. I got 40 bushel, the acre off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Severs, he just went in, disc yoked stubble, and put his wheat in, and never fertilized, and he didn't get nothing. Well, here I am, my money was helping pay for him, is neglecting his crop for putting it out. Didn't put it out right. So next year when he come around, I told him to go to Thunder. I don't have anything to
do. Well, he's one of them fellows who's in with the head officials, don't you see? He can get his money out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was always running for office or something.
When did you put yours in?
Oh, I don't remember. On September, a lot part of September.
And you must have had pretty good moisture.
I had good moisture. I'd worked it down, got it solid, just a couple times before, you know, make it hold moisture. Gee, I had a cracking piece of wheat that time. I don't remember if I ever did lose a piece of wheat.
We had a piece one time, you remember, right south of when we lived on this place, right south or right west of the buildings a while. We got a freeze after the wheat bloomed. And it looked like it was nice, but when you went to a combine, it wasn't much wheat enough. Don't you remember about that?
Yeah, I remember. We got a frost after the wheat.
In back west of that house a little ways.
In the spring. It was just a good November top of that frost water.
It looked nice,
though. Well, I dressed over there on that bottom ground.
I think it froze after over there
by Urban Sales, where it was all bottom ground. And I was thrashing, and I set to set it back to Oak Swade. And half a bushel wouldn't hold it. See, it comes up and weighs it, you know, and tallies it. And I had to set it back less than 32 pounds next to the box that holds it, so it'd trip it, you know, so it didn't clog up the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it set, and I said to you, you can't have nobody use that wheat, ain't worth anything. Well, called up Ed Metz, and he came out with his tester. And he tested it. I forget what I tested anymore, but he said, no, he says, they just ain't no use thrashing.
There was no food value in it.
It froze in that bottom ground, you see. And the grains of wheat is light colored. You know, you put your hand in it, it's lighter than oats.
Yeah.
And, but I believe that's the only job.
I believe that's the only time we ever missed to getting wheat where you sowed wheat.
Huh?
I believe that's the only time we ever missed to getting wheat where you sowed wheat. We've had times already where the wheat's pretty bad in spots and it wouldn't be so good. But we never had any like that any other time.
Well, when do you thrash it, Patty?
Oh.
Hardly anybody thrashes up there anymore. They combine everything.
I mean, combine.
Combine everything now.
Then they go in with their balers and bale up their skull.
When do you combine it?
Whenever it gets ripe, it's usually four part of July.
Long through July, generally.
When it come up? Along in October?
Depending
on when you
come up in 10 days, 8, 10
yeah.
days.
Now, how big has it got to get before it can stand the weather?
Oh, well, it's up a couple inches.
That's enough?
Unless he have zero weather for a few days without any snow on top of it. If he discovered that the snow up can stand a lot of cold weather.
Yeah.
That is, if the snow on the ground, why, wheat will stand zero for a month.
Yeah.
But there ain't no snow on the ground.
It don't stand a very many nights.
Sometimes, but generally you get a part of a crop anyhow.
Yeah. How low can it take it? How far down can it go?
Oh, sometimes it gets below zero up there.
I mean, can the wheat take it if there's no snow?
Huh?
If there's no snow, how cold can it get? And the wheat won't hurt the wheat.
Oh,
it can freeze.
It can freeze and freeze fairly hard, but then if it go way down below zero, it might.
15 or 20 wouldn't hurt it.
No. Wheat will stand a lot of cold if it's hardy in the fall of the year.
I remember one fall up there.
Yeah.
The works in the cornfields. We are picking corn, just picking it off of the stalk and throwing it in the wagon. And it was nice and warm. And you had that old school bus, and you know, Oliver, old man Oliver, wanted to go into town.
Huh?
Him, old man Oliver and his family wanted to go into town, you know.
Yeah.
So old Mr. Oliver put his team onto the school bus. We went into town, and you know, it got storming while we was up there, and it just turned so darn cold that we had an old hen and chicken sitting out along the road under a bush where she had hatched them. And the old hen and chickens all froze to death that night. It was 11 below zero the next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, coming home, he said
he got off.
He drives his team. And I seen it getting off the road, and I kept a hollering, G, instead of that. The kid wagon right over and rolled down. And his whole side of his head, you're watching blue. Well, I had to have that kid wagon ready to.
The whole kid, the Monday morning, and that was Saturday evening. That was Saturday evening, and you had to have it.
I had to have that bus the whole kids Monday morning. So.
I never got my arm set till 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when the doctor got there. The roads, they just snowed and the roads and drifts. And Arthur's uncle finished bringing the doctor in his with a buggy and horse. He couldn't get through with his car.
That is why you put in after you take the wheat off.
Well, generally, pastor. See, you sow the timothy seed in the winter or along towards spring, you sow timothy seed on it in clover, and that makes your hay then.
Mm-hmm.
For the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The next year.
Mm-hmm. You don't cut it in?
Huh.
Just sow it.
You sow it right when with the drill when you sow the wheat.
Well, you can. I have done that, but you can sow it. You don't sow the clover, put that on spring.
Yeah.
And it takes in
one of them
wheat.
Little fiddler things and
mm-hmm.
so on.
You can sow the timothy, but I generally sow timothy and clover together, mix the seed and sow them together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a system I never was acquainted with, you know.
How far north did you live?
Kentucky.
Oh.
Well, we have had.
You better sit down so I can sit with you.
I see, all right.
You're going to get tired of that stuff.
Sit over here.
Show you. I like it that way. I'm going
to go one time. San Diego exhibition. We was out there when they had an exhibition out there. Oh, yeah, this is the whole book. Goodness, man, that's a big place.
We went out there one time right after the fair was over, the World's Fair, and then they continued it the next year again. We went out that winter. There wasn't so much going on while we was there, but then.
This all worked for me a long time. Who's that out there? Edison Dial. This is his second wife.
I have to see.
Just got a letter from him the other day.
That's his first wife.
Huh?
That's Grace. What's the matter with you?
No, it's not Grace.
Oh, Christopher. I'll have to go hunt up the picture of him and his second wife, man. So
this is his second wife. Abby, he's pretty young there.
Yep. He worked for him a long time before he went to California.
Edison Dial.
Yeah, Edison Dial.
I believe that's his first wife.
Huh?
I believe that's his first wife. He's so young there.
Well, if his wife was leaving him and his brother during World War II. And hit her brother was to come this way, and they got an automobile right and killed her, his first wife. Well, then, of course, he had to go over in the army, and he got killed over in Germany.
And that was this fella, Edison Dial.
Yeah.
That's him too?
No, this is John Proxton, his wife. He's been all, he's a soldier, yeah. He's been all through the war. Brother Willie spent 3 years and a half in the Dutch prison.
Oh my.
He said they had cats and dogs and monkeys and anything they could get a hold of.
Hmm.
He's still living though. That's my father's brother. That's Thurgrim, youngest. That's his daughter. He come up missing, never knows what to come of him. Went off west. There's one I don't know who it is.
He's all dressed up here in that hard collar, Arthur.
Yeah. Striped he went there. Around a shaft at Arcole, Indiana, went around an elevator shaft, but quick. Broke his legs and broke him all up and burnt him. And tore his clothes off and finally fell down. By golly, he pulled through it, though.
Hmm.
That's a place up in Michigan, that's Alfie's sister standing there, but she's got her looking the other way, can't tell who she is. That's a couple of our youngest kids. Here's a fella selling a boar, Ed Grisby. Here, auction here.
Nice looking hog,
Yeah, yeah. I don't know right where the farm is that they was on. I don't know where that is from. This is one of our kids, I suppose. Doesn't know what to tell.
Yeah, where'd that take it?
I don't know. Well, that's taken, I think, out in California.
That's just a picnic out in the picnic ground?
There's some of the big deers that run them things that Boer Dam. See, we were out there at Boer Dam.
Mm-hmm.
That was where they turned them 30-foot pieces of pipe, 30-foot in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
30-foot in diameter. There's a picture of the dam on the Colorado River. I was there twice. Now, some of these, I don't know who they are. There's my brother next to me and his wife and boy. He's younger than I am.
Now, this your brother?
Yeah, he's been dead a long time. This is my uncle and cousin.
The little boy looks very much like him.
My grandmother, yeah. Now, he's still a little boy. Is. This is my mother's mother. And I suppose that's Ralph's boy.
Now that picture's in a different box.
This is my mother's brother here.
But I know that's Edison and Grace. But this is our son that passed away. But you see, this one wasn't on this picture. That's his three oldest children. And this one was, I think this one must have been about 8 years old, 8 or 9 when this one come on. Now he's 22.
Yeah.
He'll be 23 in July.
Yeah.
This is the one that's still going to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's my uncle. He taught school for around 20 years.
You know, horror.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think I'm...